This is Andrew Corbett, and I'm introducing to you How Then Shall We Now Live? This is study number 6, based on Romans chapter 14, verses 13 to 23. It's entitled, Be Sensitive Towards Others. Again, as I am encouraging you to do at the start of every Bible study, don't just make this a lecture or information impartation. Make it a time where you're actually building and edifying people. And to do that, it's a worthwhile thing to do. It should commence with some kind of refreshment, hot or cold drinks, finger food, biscuits, cakes, slices, whatever it is, cheese and crackers, whatever it is. And then when you have that time of just fraternizing, encourage people to move into a different space and begin the study. And begin the study by asking the two questions that I encourage you to ask each meeting. Firstly, name one thing that you're thankful for and one thing you would like prayer for. An astute group leader will take notes, and there is a template on the website for you to download and use that to fill in for each of these studies, where you can record what people are thankful for and what they would like prayer for, which you will use at the end of the night to remind people as they go around the group and pray for each other. As with each of these studies, I encourage you to learn how to facilitate the study so that you don't have to be the guru. You don't have to know all the answers. You can learn some techniques to throw open the discussion, and discussion is good, discussion is healthy, especially as long as we're grounding it in God's word. So this is Be Sensitive Toward Others. Looking at this passage in Romans 14, I would encourage you to ask somebody to read the first paragraph, which says this: How well do you get along with people who disagree with you? How patient are you with those in your church who are new Christians, yet still have ideas which differ with biblical standards? The Apostle Paul has challenging things to say about these issues in this section of Romans. Question 1. What kinds of things can happen within a church community that can be the kind of stumbling block or hindrance mentioned in Romans chapter 14 and verse 13, which says, Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Noting that verse, that could cause a new Christian to stumble. So these are the stumbling blocks or hindrances mentioned in that verse. What are those things that could happen today? Throw it open for discussion. What are the things that put a new Christian off in the sense that this is a stumbling block or a hindrance to them from even getting out of the gates? Now, I've got some examples, but you might want to throw this open and see what people come up with. But I've got examples like rules about clothing. For some churches, they even have rules about the color of clothing you can wear. It could be the type of music they let you listen to. I grew up being told rock and roll was of the devil. You shouldn't listen to rock and roll. You certainly shouldn't listen to heavy rock, because that is definitely of the devil. That's even worse than rock and roll. It could also be, some of the examples could also be dancing. Some Christians see dancing as actually inherently evil. Some people regard sport on Sunday as not quite unforgivable, but pretty close to it. And then there's the issue of tattoos. Some people see that tattoos are completely evil and wicked and shouldn't. And anyway, these things can become stumbling blocks, because you can just consider how many new Christians will have already done all of these and maybe still do all these as they come into church. Now, these can be the stumbling blocks or hindrances. You might, in your group discussion, might come up with some more. If anyone's got a biblical mandate for what they're on about, then we're probably not talking about that. Probably that's another issue about how to deal with things wisely. Question number 2. Reading Romans chapter 14 and verse 14, which says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. So based on that verse, in what way should a believer be confident about what they believe? Well, probably they should be confident in every way. They should be confident that what they believe is both supported by Scripture and is approved by God. And this is the kind of confidence that's encouraged. That's why we can talk about grey issues. Grey issues are those things that Scripture doesn't directly or even possibly indirectly speak to. Question four, in what way does Romans chapter 14 verse 15, which says, "For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died." So we saw in the last study that Paul raised the issue of vegetarianism and eating meat. And possibly for us today, this isn't such a big deal as it was to the first century Christians who could only get their butchered meat from someone who was probably a pagan priest who may have butchered meat for sale that was essentially offered as a sacrifice to a false god. All right, so in what way does that verse that we just read challenge the believer who says, "I don't care what other people think, I'm doing it anyway"? Well, hopefully the group will discuss that, hey, this is actually inconsiderate. This is something that we need to be sensitive toward others about. If their conscience doesn't permit them to do it, we at least need to be sensitive toward them. Question five. Considering Romans chapter 14 and verse 15, which we just read, if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So based on that verse, what are some of the things that believers can strongly disagree about and potentially leads to some weak believers walking away from the faith? All right, so this is an issue that can come up, and it's something that you can bring up as a group discussion. I mentioned some examples before that may come up, things like tattoos, things like drinking alcohol. These are the issues that can cause someone to think you guys are just making up rules as you go along or something like that. There are several precious things, so this is where you may ask someone to read this as well. There are several precious things which believers in Christ regard as good, yet those who deny Christ denounce as evil. These would include the Bible, our church, marriage, family, and the unborn. We consider all of those things to be precious. Question six, how does Paul say that believers should respond to those who denounce these precious things as evil based on Romans 14, 16? Now, this might catch people off guard, but let's have a think about this verse. It says, "Do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil." Now, the context seems to indicate that people might consider eating meat good or keeping a particular day of the week a good thing. That could be probably Sunday, and that may have jolted the conscience of Jewish Christians who felt, no, it's the Sabbath, it's Saturday, let's keep that. So these are the issues. And how should we respond to those people for whom what we consider to be a good thing now, because of our belligerence perhaps, our insensitivity toward others, it's spoken of as an evil thing? And the broader context is that we live in a world that considers many of these things, as we've mentioned, marriage, family, church, and the unborn, as actually evil, which is a strange thing. But how should we respond? Well, it says don't let it be spoken of as evil. Don't give them any grounds to think of it as evil. Anyway, great discussion. I hope your group engages in that. Christians can differ over what they consider is appropriate to eat or drink. Paul seems to consider these differences rather petty. The kingdom of God, he tells the Romans, is not a matter of eating and drinking, even though these things might bring delight and enjoyment. Rather, the kingdom of God is about things far more substantial than these quote-unquote petty delights. Question 7. According to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, which says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit," based on that verse, What are the delights of the kingdom of God which the believer should enjoy most? Well, hopefully, those three things, righteousness, peace, and joy, that we should rejoice in those things that are right, those things that bring peace, and those things that bring joy in the Holy Spirit. So have a think about that, have a discussion about that. Just worth considering that we sometimes think it's all to do with things that happen within the four walls of a church, but there's lots of things that we can delight in that take place outside of the four walls of a church that are righteous, and they invoke the peace of God. So just consider that. The believer who enjoys these kingdom benefits is acceptable to, and this is based on Romans chapter 14 and verse 18, which says, whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So we've got a couple of fill in the blanks here. The believer who enjoys these kingdom benefits is acceptable to G-O-D, God, and approved by M-E-N, men. That's men in the mankind sense of it. Why, question 8, why is Romans chapter 14 verse 19, which says, so then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Why is this verse a church growth principle? Well, hopefully people will, in your group, you'll discuss that, you know, if we're looking out for each other, if we're doing what blesses the other, then isn't that going to be an attractive thing? Aren't people going to want to be a part of that, where they know they're coming into a community that is going to bless them? They want to be blessed. So that hopefully will come up in the discussion. Question 9, got a few verses here to read. Does Romans chapter 14 verses 20 to 23, which says, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. Verse 21, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So the question is, does this passage broaden or narrow the definition of sin? Well, there's a discussion, because you could say in one sense it broadens it, because it's not just restricted to the black and white teaching of Scripture. It's actually now a matter of making sure you're living in accord with a clean conscience. But in that sense, it could narrow it too. It could narrow the sense of the definition of sin, because now it's no longer so wildly broad. It's actually narrow in the sense that, well, you know, Scripture is going to inform our conscience, and if our conscience is not clear, then that's sin. So in that sense, it's narrow. So have a discussion about that and see where you land on that. Anyway, now as the group leader, it's the time to break out the thanks and prayer points, particularly the prayer points. Remind the group of the prayer points that each one offered at the start of the night, and have each one select one prayer point so that everyone and everyone's prayer point gets prayed for. Go in the room, starting on your left, so that finish with you, and then you can close the meeting in prayer. Well, I'm Andrew Corbett. I trust you're enjoying these studies. God bless you. And in our next study, study number 7, it is Be a People Builder.